The president appears to be ready to go back on his own word. Take a listen.
With respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case.
Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own, but that's not how our system works.
Well, flash forward, and he's now set to take executive action on immigration. Let's bring in our panel. We have Alan Nuckman, Bullseye Options Chief Options Strategist, Nomi Prinz, Demos Senior Fellow, and Catherine Mangu Ward, Reason Managing Editor. Catherine, does it matter that the president is about to do what he used to say he couldn't do?
You know, I don't think the hypocrisy angle is really the issue here. I think it's actually much more important that what he's saying is he's giving up on working with Congress. This has always kind of been Obama's attitude. We can all work together as long as we all agree with me, and then after that, all bets are off. So I don't think it's actually that surprising.
Well, Alan, I'm wondering if this has a market implication. That is, if it's reached the point where investors are a little nervous about the implications of an imperial presidency.
I don't think so. We've seen everything happen possibly that could happen politically in the last couple of years, and it hasn't really rattled the market.
Oh, don't bet on it, my friend. Alan, those could be famous last words.
The least resistance is upward, and looking at the market action, again, we're unchanged. We continue to make new highs, 43 new highs in the S&P so far this year, and look at what's going on at the marketplace. Every crisis du jour has been overcome, and I don't think this is a crisis. I'm not an Esquire at large, but I'll be the first to tell you there's precedent for this, 1986, 1989. That's how it's happened before, and maybe it'll happen again.
Right. Climbing the walls of worry works up to a point, and then it kind of levels out. Nomi, aren't you a little worried, though, about the president doing the kind of things that other presidents have failed to do, gotten in trouble doing, whether it was Nixon or Bush?
You know, for the most part, you know, as Catherine said, he doesn't tend to, you know, there's been a lot of lack of negotiation and things haven't really moved that much in Washington as a result on both sides. But I think in this particular case, there was bipartisan support from the Senate. There is fairly good, at least half support in the United States for the immigration
rules to be changed. Wait, you're a statistician. Hold on, Nomi, you're a statistician. You know how statistics are misused. There is support for something to be done. There is not support for the president to take executive action.
Right, but he's not inviting them in. He's not basically stamping their applications and saying, you're here. What he's doing, or what he's going to probably talk about doing, is his executive order to reduce the thwarting of the ability of these people to get amnesty. And I think, you know, to the point of the market, ultimately, there's a positive here. If more people, you know, aside from the executive order aspect, are here working, paying taxes, et cetera, that actually fills into more support for the American economy.
If they're here paying taxes, if they're here legally, if they're not here to suck off of the government, if they're here to work, pay taxes, that's fine. But who knows how many new immigrants will come in for other reasons. By the way, tomorrow Fox Business is going to have special coverage of the president's announcement starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Our own friend Neil Cavuto is going to be carrying you through that. Meanwhile, businesses in Ferguson are bracing for the worst ahead of a grand jury decision on the death of Michael Brown. Nomi, should businesses in Ferguson be worried?
Yeah, I think that if there is violence in the wake of whatever the opinion is of from the grand jury, I think businesses will actually be protected. I know there's a conversation back and forth, but at the end of the day, there will be protection, because that's what we've seen through a lot of protests that have happened, whether they've been completely peaceful or whether they've had violent aspects. They get sent in.
Catherine, let me just play for you a soundbite of a guy I talked to who represents a lot of businesses in Ferguson, including, by the way, the Ferguson Market, where this story really began. He says that is not true, that they've been protected in the past. Let's play the clip.
The last go-round, the governor of Missouri, the state of Missouri, failed horribly in protecting the businesses and the people here. As I advise my clients, prepare for the absolute worst and pray and hope for something much better.
In the past, some businesses have had to close down as a result of these protests going riot.
Yeah, there are businesses closing, and frankly, I think at the very root of these protests is the sense that the police are not out to sort of discharge some kind of impartial civic duty, but that they're kind of covering their own behind. They're going to look out for their own first, and I actually think it's reasonable what the businesses are doing to sort of say, we're going to batten down the hatches and rely on our own precautions.
Alan, the bottom line is, I know you probably weren't going to invest in Ferguson to begin with, but I bet there's nobody, even people who have thought of investing in Ferguson, aren't doing so right now, are they?
Well, the St. Louis area, you know, you could bring it out geographically if you wanted, but it's a very localized issue, localized problem. And, you know, they're going to solve things, but in the long term, you know, in the short term, you know, we're going to have these spotty problems, but it's not going to have any impact on the macro picture in the world. And statistically speaking, if we're going to come back to that, crime is down dramatically in the last 20 years.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely it is, but it can always creep up again. And that's what worries people, particularly when Al Sharpton is giving the president advice on attorney generals and stuff like that. And he's made a decision at the grand jury. Al Sharpton says he knows who's guilty in all this. Thank you very much. We're going to bring you panel back. Up next, we're going to be talking about who benefits from all this cold weather. There are some beneficiaries. 2 feet on top of 5 feet, 7 feet of snow. So who loses most and who could possibly gain from this bad weather? We are back with Alan Nuckman, Nomi Prinz, and Catherine Manga Ward. Alan, first to you. I would assume it's going to hit retailers hard just as the price of gas is coming down, so they were hoping to get more business.
Well, retail is really hard anyways. Retail is very much hit and miss. I'm looking at it from another angle. If you think about what happened with Alibaba and their Singles Day, they were too big to mail, meaning the fact is they had so many sales that it shut down their mailing infrastructure. So that's the play. Look at UPS and FedEx, because it doesn't matter where you buy it, the stuff has to be shipped, and they're going to gain from this holiday season more so than anything, regardless of the weather.
Well, no, so I guess what you do is you go long on the Amazons and the Alibabas, and you go short on the shopping mall. Reads, right?
Yeah,
I don't think it's that easy.
Go ahead, Nomi.
The physical shopping locations are places people aren't going to want to go to in as much abundance if it's like snowing and sleeting and very, very cold. And I empathize with all of that living here now in Los Angeles. So I'm sorry about that for everybody. But I do think that the online retailers absolutely, the FedEx and the UPS are going to do better from this. People are going to be home ordering. There are a lot of sales and additional incentives also with people's precarious economic conditions at home that helped people do that more so last year. And I think if we see the same kind of weather patterns, that's just going to be increased this year. And I think the actual shopping centers that are involved in the REITs are going to deteriorate a little bit, as REITs will in general, because they're very toppy at having gone up by 500%.
That's absolutely true. Catherine,
in the wake of the Fed's policies in the last few years.
I want to talk about what happened the first quarter of this year. Of course, we had a shrinkage of the economy by over 2% partly as a result, that terrible winter we had. Are we going to see a repeat of it in the last quarter of this year because of the storms?
Certainly possible. I mean, maybe I'm just lazy, but I haven't gone to a store in years to buy a Christmas present. It's like, you know, if I can't wear my slippers, I'm absolutely not in for it. I assume the rest of the American public is just as lazy as I am, so I think that I'm a good indicator on that front. But I actually think one place to look, if you want to wonder about the politics of it a little bit, is if Christmas retail shifts to online almost exclusively or more heavily to online, you know, legislators are going to want to get a piece of that tax-wise. So I would see I would look for some significant movement on taxing internet sales, both at the state and federal level.
Well, we are in the middle of enrollment period for health care. I guess you all know that. An AP study showed last December that 4.7 million Americans lost their health care plans in 2013 following the implementation of Obamacare. Question, will it happen again? And what about those Cadillac plans? Catherine, I want to talk to you about the Cadillac plans, because supposedly when this thing was sold and we were lied to about what it could provide at what cost, the president said that only the rich, only the top rich will pay for these extra money for the Cadillac. It turns out now about 170 million Americans will eventually be hit by what was called back then the Cadillac tax. What do you think of that?
I think 170 million Americans probably wish that they drove a Cadillac. I mean, there's clearly a situation here where, you know, admittedly the health insurance market before Obamacare was far from transparent. But you know, what we've seen this last week with these sort of little tiny trickle of scandals is that this was non-transparent by design. And,
Little tiny trickle of scandals? I would say these are very large scale. I mean, look, 1/6, Alan, of the economy was affected by Obamacare. 1/6. And we are now being told, and we have some evidence to back it all up by Jonathan Gruber, who was the lead authority, according to Nancy Pelosi, according to President Obama, back in their own words when this thing was implemented, we are being told that we were lied to. But I would call that more than a little trickle of a scandal, wouldn't you, Alan?
I'm a results guy. He's not in politics, so I'm going to leave him out of this equation. He was a consultant, but he was also a
Wait a minute. He was paid millions of dollars. He was a paid consultant.
That's what consultants do.
Hold on a second. Let me get to the point.
Health insurance premiums and costs have slowed their growth dramatically.
He was part of the political process. That's the problem with Washington. I think that's what this last election was about, Nomi. The fact that there's so many unelected people in Washington, lobbyists, some of whom you like, some of whom you don't like, lobbyists and other people that are paid consultants, millions of dollars, they're making decisions for us. They have become a part of the political process, even though they've never been elected.
He made a stupid comment, but he's not in politics.
He created a lying, deceitful plan. Nomi, go ahead.
Well, the plan and the numbers of the plan and whether he or anyone intended to lie or not, the reality is premiums have gone up for most Americans, that could, you know, and even the ones who have gone into health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, they're going to see what they get for that health insurance, whoever pays for it, decline. So what insurance companies have done is basically they've shifted from potentially having to reduce some premiums, raising other premiums, and reducing what you get for that coverage. And that is something that actually will impact not just the 170 million Americans, but even the ones that have been the beneficiaries to the most extent from what the intent of Obamacare was. And that's a problem for everyone. The insurance companies really, really gained out of this.
All right, guys, we've got to leave it. A Rock'em Sock'em edition of the panel today. Alan Duckman, Nomi Prinz, and Catherine Wangu Ward. Thank you very much.